Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I have the distinct pleasure of introducing to you my friend and colleague, Jack Kaler, who is a managing partner of Zenovate LLC, specializing in complex business transformation and helping Fortune 1000 and middle market clients improve customer experience, operating performance, EBITDA, cash flow, and working capital by optimizing processes, implementing automation and digital solutions, redesigning organizations, and aligning operational models. He has more than 20 years' experience leading global improvement initiatives and is a recognized expert in enterprise transformation. He has also been the transformational program leader. He has implemented agile, lean-based programs, deployed and managing cross-functional business and technical teams. Jack is also known mostly for his holistic, collaborative and process-focused data-driven approach and has delivered meaningful results. Prior to forming Zenovate LLC, Jack was a senior managing director and practice leader with FTI Consulting, where he has worked with CEOs, CFOs, and business leaders to improve the customer experience. He was also director and firm-wide operational excellence subject matter expert with PricewaterhouseCoopers, where he developed the first lean methodology, trained over 700 consultants, and implemented a high-impact global transformational program across multiple regions. Jack holds an MBA with a concentration in operations and marketing from Boston University and a Bachelor of Science in Industrial Engineering from Northeastern. He is certified Lean Six Sigma Black Belt and holds a CPIM from APEX. Jack, it's my distinct pleasure to welcome you to the show.
Debbie, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So everybody who's listening today, I have the distinct pleasure of having met Jack early in my business journey and talk about, wow, he is a master of his trade in transforming organizations. And quite frankly, I couldn't keep up with him because he's so good at his craft. So I've learned a lot and I have the distinct pleasure of having a conversation with him. So Jack, thank you in advance for your wisdom and let's get to it. So, Jack, my first question for you is you have had a distinguished business journey, but I would really love to know, tell us a little bit about that journey and what are you most proud of?
That's a great question. I think my entire career goes back to business and process improvement and looking at how what we do can be done better and faster and cheaper and more pleasing to the customers that we serve. And I think in that, what I'm most proud of is that it's bringing sort of a level of innovation and a level of improvement to the customers that I serve and helping them to serve their customers better along the way. One of the things that when you brought up the business journey, one of the things I often think back on is when I was growing up, there was a big shipyard in the city that I grew up in, which is in Massachusetts. And that shipyard was, when you know, one of those big arsenal of democracy type places where, you know, they'd grind out a destroyer every day would come rolling off into the river. And it was an amazing, awesome place right up until it shut down. And at that point, you know, it went from having thousands and thousands of people working there to being a bunch of rusting metal and an empty lot. And it really struck me that if we don't be productive, if we don't stay on top of our game and keep improving, that all of the things that we've built up for ourselves, for our country, for our economy, and for our children will end up rusting in a parking lot if somebody else picks it up for us. So, you know, I think I've tried to put that in everything I do. And I think that when we look for a reason for what we do and why we do it, that to me is the reason why I do what I do.
So that's a great story, and thank you for that. And you've shared that with me before. And I think what strikes me about that story is to remain relevant, to stay current, to continually reassess, refine, look at the opportunities, continuous improvement. And it could be we can decide that maybe the systems and processes can be made more efficient and maybe we no longer need the people, but we don't want to be a victim of circumstances, which is what I heard that you share in your story. So it's a fantastic story. Thank you. So you've had a lot of transformations that you've had to go through, and I'm sure there's many stories, but what's really interesting for me, and I'm quite curious because it's a little bit about the work I do, is that can you tell us a time when you were, say, dropped into a situation where the organization was changing or chaos or going through some significant change? How did you drop into that situation, and what was it, the transformation that resulted, and how did you do it?
There have been a number of times when I've joined a client or taken on a client where they were under intense pressure. I think there's one that strikes me. It's a current client of mine, and I've worked with this company for 5 years now on a number of different things. But one of the things that I started working on a couple of years ago was one of their largest business units is under a lot of pressure to improve how they deal with their customers. And it was a challenge for them because the entire business was built around a certain business model, a certain way of doing things. And their competitors were shifting to a newer, better, faster, cheaper way of interacting with customers, taking orders, of fulfilling orders, of communicating. And it was just much more efficient. And a number of the key clients of my client were becoming more concerned that doing business with my client was becoming less and less efficient, less and less competitive. One of the challenges that we had was internal to this company. It's like many other organizations, very siloed. And so the people who were sort of customer facing, selling and interacting with their customers were very apprehensive about the company's ability to improve. Meanwhile, the back office was very much hobbled by poor systems and technology, a lot of processes that weren't really standardized. There was just a lot of impediments that really hampered their ability to execute. And so there wasn't a whole lot of confidence that the company had in their ability to change or their ability to keep up with where the industry was going. What excited me about this was that the people here are excellent and they're committed and they wanted to change and they wanted to do the right thing. And so giving them the right tools to look at how they do business and showing them the way, I was very confident that they would be able to do the right thing and make the right choices and figure it out together. And that's kind of what we did. We looked at the way that they do business, that we looked at the way that they interact with their customers. We mapped those journeys. And we were very aggressive about saying, how do we want this to be in the future? What do we want the future to look like? And they got past their apprehension at their own ability to create that future state. And what they built was actually a leap beyond what their competitors were doing. And when we put that in front of their customers, the customers were absolutely thrilled. One of their customers called it a game changer. And that was, for me, it was thrilling to see how this apprehensive client that was kind of falling behind, even though it was an industry leader, suddenly had leapfrogged their competitors and were putting together something that was literally a standard setting for the industry. So that was very exciting. It was a great outcome. It certainly built my credibility here. But most importantly, the result for the client was terrific. It's increased their sales. It's increased their partnership with their vendors and with their customers. It's been a great outcome.
That was a great story, Jack. And, you know, there's a couple nuggets that I pick out of that story that you just shared. You saw confidence. You felt confident that you could bring this organization to a better place because you saw where they were and you've done this time and time again. And you indicated that they were not confident, that they were not keeping up. And it's really interesting that not only technically and tactically, you transformed the organization to what you say, one of the client partners indicated it was a game changer. But what's really interesting to me is that transfer of confidence. You showed them the way, you applied tools and techniques, you showed them how to go from the current state to the future state, and actually them helping themselves. And with that came the transfer of confidence from yourself to the client. Absolutely amazing.
You know, it's funny because I think we always go in to a situation, whether we're kind of in a business and in a company ourselves and trying to figure out a situation or whatever. But we bring a certain perspective and we bring a level of competence that we've developed along the way. You know, you've developed it, I've developed it. And as long as we stay true to the skill set that got us where we are, that we've been able to rely on, and then we respect what the others in the room, whether they're clients or colleagues, what they bring to the table. If we put our heads together, generally speaking, you know, we can figure out what the problem is and we can come up with good solutions. And oftentimes it's a matter of respecting the knowledge of the people around you and also respecting and trusting in your own knowledge and your own ability. Those are the two differences. If you do that, chances are you'll stop self-doubting and you'll move to solving problems. And that's what I've seen over and over again. You know, it's funny because every time I go into a project, before I start the project, there's at least one or two nights where I'm waking up at 3 a.m. staring at the ceiling and saying, what if I can't solve this problem? And the way I go back to sleep is to convince myself, I don't have to solve this problem. All I have to do is go in the room and work with the people who are there and we'll solve it together. Between what I know and what they know, they're the experts in what they do. I'm pretty good at what I do. Together, we can put together a perspective that'll get us past whatever we face.
Amazing insight. Thank you, Jack. So you bring up an interesting thought, and I'm going to go there because we've shared this conversation, that thing about waking up at 3:30 in the morning. So I have seen you at a point in the client's journey where we get new information that we didn't have before. The process became more complex. It wasn't clear on how to resolve something, a piece of new information, and you go to a place of possibly doubt or not feeling confident to be able to resolve the client's issue. So when you get to those points, and I'm sure you have on different projects, what do you do to get through that point of not being clear to becoming clear on how to solve their problem?
The hardest part about that is realizing that you've hit the roadblock to begin with. Because sometimes I think we all have a tendency to just keep beating our head against a wall. And suddenly, if we're self-aware or if we're kind of following an agenda that's working, but or in this case, not working, you know, we have to step back and we have to say, something isn't going the way I thought it would go. And we have to have the ability to be flexible, to step back, to regroup, to reassess and identify what it is that we're really facing. You know, is it a problem with our methodology, our approach to this? Is it that we're trying to solve the wrong problem or using the wrong tool to solve the right problem? We really have to be able to reassess and say, what is it that we're trying to accomplish? And then reestablish an approach, or at least try something else that'll get us there. Sometimes it's going back to basics. And I think, you know, you and I worked on a project together where it was exactly that. It was taking a step backwards, going back to basics, and then saying we didn't sufficiently map a process that should have been mapped. And in many cases, what fails in step three is because we didn't complete step two. So, you know, we have to be aware of that, and we have to make sure that we're following our own process, and we have to be flexible enough that if the process isn't working, let's regroup and let's try a different way.
So that's great insight, because I've come across up-and-coming leaders, entrepreneurs that, as you say, they're banging their head against a wall. I had a plan, I had an approach, and why isn't it working? I've thought about it, I've planned it, and now I'm executing. So great insight to pause, reflect, reevaluate the approach, and maybe revisit it, maybe sleep on it, and things become clear in the morning. I've done that so many times. Sometimes it's just being faith that the solution will come to you as well. So this podcast for me is really about finding those people that have tremendous insights and inspire people to be able to perform at a higher level. And in this interview here, you've talked about, you know, you get a lot of smart people in the room. You treasure the gifts that the people that you serve bring to the table, and together you solve it. Ultimately, they solve the problem. So you do inspire people, and for that, I thank you. But I'd love to know, for you, through your career or early life, was there anybody in your life that inspired you or a situation that may have inspired you for who you are now? I'd love to hear about it.
I've been lucky. There have been a lot of people who've inspired me one way or another in my life. I mean, my parents were very good people. And they did what they could to encourage me to do the best I can. I had a professor in business school. I went to Boston University to the Graduate School of Management there. And I was very fortunate to have a professor by the name of Richard Pike. And his professorship was, I think he was called at the time, the executive in residence. This goes back many years. But I remember he was a vice president or a president of some business leader from Eli Lilly. And what I appreciated about him, above all, was his attitude. His attitude was very much pragmatic. And I mean, there was something sage about him, you know, from the get-go. He had a very open dialogue with the class. He was eager to share stories. He was eager to teach. And I also got the sense that he was eager to learn as much from us, you know, a bunch of 20-year-olds in the room, as he was to share his own insights. And I remember that. And I always thought, what a cool thing that here's this guy who's a senior executive at a major corporation, a global corporation, who's just as interested in what I have to say, as interested in kind of spouting the wisdom. And something that he said really struck me, and I remember it to this day. He said, borrow and adapt. And I always thought about that, and I've never, ever forgotten it. Borrow and adapt. And what it kind of spoke to me was, it said that you're going to get good ideas from everyone and everything around you. All you have to be is open to them. And if you just pay attention and you look and you see, the world is like teaching you every minute. And that to me has been an inspiration. It's been a really cool thing. And I've tried, sometimes successfully, other times not so successfully, but I've tried to borrow and adapt and learn from the people that I've had the good fortune to work with along the way.
You know, from that story, it could also be that we get inspired from the people we serve. I know I do when I get to talk to people 20s, yeah. And I learn from them as well. So to your point, I even have some young bucks helping me with my social media and my technology. We can all learn from each other while helping each other.
True that.
Great story, Jack. Thank you. So if we had to think about entrepreneurs, small business owners, or maybe people up and coming in their profession, I have a soft spot right now when I come across these young professionals who have great, great technical skills, but along the way, we've not given them enough mentorship, advice, or things that could help leapfrog their career. What are some words of wisdom or thoughts you may share with these individuals?
Well, I think you kind of said it. I think one of the things that may sometimes be tedious, but will ultimately keep you going is, you know, you're there to serve. You're there to add value. You're there to do something to make someone else's life better. And if you're finding yourself just kind of going through the motions and, you know, waiting on the paycheck, that may be a pragmatic answer for you for the moment. But at the end of the day, you might look back and say, you know, I'm not satisfied, or I haven't gotten all that I expected from this role, this company, this gig, this career. You know, if you're trying to avoid regrets, you know, find something that you're passionate about, and, you know, you'll never have to work a day in your life. What's that? Is that the old saying? You know,
I think so. Beautifully said. You know, if I could paint a visual for the listeners here, if you think about a large room with a cross-functional team, people working, papers, post-its all over the walls, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of work just plastered all over the place. And the beautiful thing I've had an opportunity to see is that, yes, Jack has been a guide for organizational transformations. But then when you see the team presenting to others what they've achieved, or looking to the past and showing what the future state is, and just watching the guide, people such as Jack, just stepping back and looking and just seeing it happen in front. That's when you know you've served and you now have instilled the confidence in the people, or they have taken that confidence and made it their own and they've seen it through to the other side. So it's beautiful work that you do. And I've had the distinct pleasure of working with you.
Well, wasn't that cool? I mean, it's a great experience. It's kind of fun when the client who's kind of looking at you like, you know, I don't know where you're taking me. I'm not sure if I'm going to like this. At the end, when they're like, this is where we came from, and look at all this stuff, and they're excited about it. I mean, that's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty rewarding, too.
Yeah, that's the wow factor of what we get to do, and we'll continue to do. So thank you for that great conversation, Jack. So I am sure after this conversation, people want to check you out. So if they wanted to find you, what would be the best way that they could connect with you, Jack?
It's easy. You can go to my website. It's www.zenovate, that's xenovate.com. That's my company website. Or you can look me up on LinkedIn at Jack Kaler and send me a connection request. I'd be happy to chat and talk and connect.
All right. Well, thank you, Jack. And to everybody that's listening, Jack is just wonderful. Great, insightful conversation. You should get to know him. A wonderful leader, a family man, and just a great friend all around. So, Jack, thank you so much for this conversation today. I truly enjoyed it.
Thank you. I'm grateful to be here, and you're doing a wonderful job, Deb.
All right. Thank you so much. Be well.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.